What relevance do James' instructions concerning the rich and the poor have in today's global economy?
Well, we've got to be interested in James's instruction concerning the rich and the poor today, not just in the first century, but our global economy as it stands today must have application. And so we need to think about that. James, as he's speaking in the fifth chapter about the rich, sounds like one of the Old Testament prophets, maybe especially Amos, and certainly he's affected by the outcry of the prophets against the rich who oppress the poor. At the same time, we need to recognize that in chapter 1, when he's speaking to both the rich and the poor, he speaks to them as believers and gives them instruction on how to live in a godly fashion, whether they are rich or poor. So we know simply being rich does not mean that you're evil. Simply being poor does not mean that you're righteous. It has to do with the brotherly relationship, how you use that condition. One way or the other, you can be righteous or you could be a sinner in either state. So we think about our situation today and ask the question, how would we apply this to ourselves? And so James is forcing us to ask the question, maybe wealth is relative, but what about position? Does my position now put someone else whom I am to love at a disadvantage, where I overlook them, I neglect them, I don't offer them the same opportunities that I do? And I think we're learning that James is speaking to us about that problem. My children are teaching me that fair trade practice is important because the very countries that we visit with the gospel are oftentimes affected by little fads and trends that occur in this country where we build up an interest in a certain kind of coffee or a certain product, and a smaller economy invests all of its effort and all of its resources in developing that product. And then we pull the rug out from under them by allowing that product to fall into disuse and to turn to something else. And we're finding that James has effect on that issue too, that we really do need to think more broadly. How are we affecting other cultures and other economies by the carelessness with which we throw out a product and pick up another? And so James has great relevance to us today.
It's really remarkable how quickly cities are growing in the world. We already have several cities that are called megacities, more than 10 million people. It's estimated by 2050 that 66% of the world's population will live in cities. And yet one of the things that's happening in cities is that we're seeing that the poor are starting to live along the edges, not only in places like Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, but also in the United States, where once the inner city was a concentration of the poor, now we're seeing the poor diffuse to the city's edges. James really comes to talk about the importance of Christian witness in terms of our relationship to the poor and what the gospel has to say about the relations between the rich and poor. We see him warning against showing partiality to the rich in chapter 2, and then he even sort of talks as a prophet, challenging the rich in chapter 5. He says that their wages, they've been withholding wages from the poor to protect themselves. In chapter 5 in particular, we see James talking in terms of lots that's happening in his world in terms of the Roman patronage system, where the wealthy and those with authority and positions of power would use their possessions and use their position to protect themselves and also to create a dependency for those that they were supporting with their money. And so James says, you're withholding wages from those who work for you, and your silver and your gold is corroding and it's crying out against you. And there we see James sort of echoing the prophet Isaiah and the wisdom literature of the Old Testament to say, that's not the way that the righteous are to use their wealth. in the biblical context, in terms of our covenant relationships with one another, the rich are to use their wealth in order to share with the poor and to cultivate interdependent relationships, not dependent relationships, to cultivate dignity, mutual respect, as mutual image bearers of God. And so we're to live out a different way of life, a different script, a different story, not the Roman patronage system, and not the way we use our wealth today to protect our positions of power, but covenantal interdependency.
James devotes chapters 2 and 5 to the responsibility of the wealthy or the rich or the material blessed Christian, as well as to the rich unbeliever. As a matter of fact, some have actually argued that the word rich that is used, especially in chapter 5, refers to unbelievers and not to believers. In chapter 2, we have Mr. Goldfinger that comes in with all of the nice clothing and the golds on his fingers. And then we have the man that follows him, and Mr. Dirty Clothes would be the idea there. And so they give preference to the rich man, and they put the poor man in the back of the church. This really upsets James. He doesn't like this, but we might be talking about a wealthy Christian there that is given prominence, and he shouldn't be given that. But on the other hand, when we run across this word rich, he's really talking to those who are unbelievers. He's trying to really hit them with the responsibility of coming to Christ. As a matter of fact, in James 5:5, he says, "You have lived luxuriously on this earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter, a day of judgment." And so James here admonishes the wealthy, especially if he's a believer, not to show partiality or to expect partiality, but instead to show his love. And again, going back to the royal law idea that is developed so well in James, is that he's trying to say, use your wealth in giving in a loving way. Now, oftentimes those who have wealth, and I think James was hitting this very strongly, is that their tendency is to give money, and that's supposed to be all they have a responsibility to do. But it's really giving your time, your effort, your strength, all that you are to helping somebody else and getting into a relationship with those who are in need. And so he is trying to get the believing wealthy to do that. The application, I think, is very clear. We who are wealthy, and by the way, most of us in the developed world are wealthy. I have been overseas long enough to know that probably 95% of the world is poor in relation to those of us who are in a developed country. And so we have that responsibility to invest in the poor, not just, again, to invest our wealth, not just to invest our money, but to invest our lives and ourselves and building a relationship with those who are in need. And it's not just poor for the sake of poor, but poor who are truly in need. Certainly, we should help the poor generally, but specifically to the poor believer, so that the gospel of Christ might be propagated throughout the entire area where the particular poor are located. We have a biblical mandate to help others in genuine need, and that means not only giving of our material wealth, but also the giving of ourselves in love and in care and in building a relationship with those that are in genuine need.